And in this passage, we see the entire Trinity of God at work. We see the Son of God, Jesus Christ, God incarnate in the flesh. That still just boggles my mind. The infinite God born into the world like that little thing on Laura's lap, growing up into a man, a young man. And here he is, he's being baptized by John the Baptist, and multitudes had come from all over the region to find out what John the Baptist was all about. He was saying, repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. And so there's multitudes standing on the bank of the Jordan, and here comes Jesus. And John, I'm sure, cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then he said, "Boy, I have need to be baptized by you." And Jesus said, "Nevertheless, let's do it to fulfill all righteousness." So they go down in the water. You can almost hear the river go by. You can almost feel the breeze, just going through the reeds and the rushes alongside the river. And he goes down into that water. And suddenly he comes up out of that water, and the water is just pouring off of his head and his shoulders. His clothes are soaked, and as he stands up in the middle of the river, in that moment, the heavens are parted asunder, and the glory of God, the Holy Spirit, comes down and just bathes him. It must have been like it said in bodily form, like a dove. Who knows what exactly what it appeared like, but it must have been like fire coming down out of the sky, just engulfing Jesus in that anointing of the Holy Spirit. So you have there God the Son, Jesus, coming up out of water. You have God the Holy Spirit coming out of that parting of the heavens and bathing Christ in His glory. And then you have a voice from heaven. Some people said it was like thunder, that said in that moment, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You see the entire Trinity of God at work there. Now I think that it is mind-blowing. I was going to say significant, but that doesn't even capture it. I think it is mind-blowingly significant that there is a connection. Everybody say, "There is a connection." All right, you're going to find out what that connection is in a second. I just wanted you to tap into this. There is a connection between Jesus being baptized in the Holy Spirit and God the Father making His declaration over Him, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." They happened simultaneously. It was a joint event. They were connected to each other, and that is significant. There's a reason why we see that in Scripture. Now, Jesus Christ had always been the Son of God from all eternity, before even the foundation of the world. He is the eternal Son of God. He'd always been God's Son. He knew He was God's Son. There was no question about that. And even when He was born in the flesh through the Virgin Mary, who conceived by the Holy Spirit, in the book Gospel of Luke, it says that therefore He was called the Son of God. So in eternity He was the Son of God. When He was born, He was the Son of God. But all of a sudden, as He's about to begin His ministry, God makes this public declaration over Him in the presence of many witnesses, this multitude that had come out to see Him, that Jesus was His beloved Son in whom He was well pleased. And at the same time as He makes that declaration, He affirms that declaration by crowning Him with that glorious anointing of the Holy Spirit. They are inseparably linked. His baptism in the Holy Spirit and God's affirmation and declaration over Him that He is His beloved Son in whom He is well pleased. Could God be any clearer in declaring Jesus to be the Son of His affection? I mean, this anointing that came down, as miraculous as it was just to be there and see that, I'm sure people were just blown away. But as miraculous as that was, it was that same anointing that would later cause Him, shortly thereafter, to go about doing mind-blowing miracles, raising the dead, cleansing lepers, opening blinded eyes, laying people who have never walked in their life, suddenly getting up and walking. He even spoke to the winds and the waves and commanded the very forces of nature, and nature obeyed Him. casting out devils and demons of every variety and sort, delivering people from that torment. Miracles beyond precedent. How much clearer could God be to declare Jesus as the Son of His love? And yet, immediately after that, which we're going to see in a minute, Satan comes in and tries to do everything in his power to convince Jesus that he really is not who God just said he was. Tries to cast doubt in the mind of the very Son of God that he is, whether as to whether he really truly is, in fact, the Son of God. Now, we're going to look at that in a minute, but I want to point something out. Just put that on the shelf for a minute. I want to point something out in light of all of this. And if you don't take anything else home today, please take this home. Write this on the tablet of your heart. Did you know that the infilling of the Holy Spirit in you, especially if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit where you sense the tangible power and presence and glory of God, nevertheless, that the infilling of the Holy Spirit in you, say in me, is God's way of declaring to you that you are His beloved child in whom He is well pleased. That's how He expresses that to you, just like He did to Jesus as He made that declaration of fathership over Him and then anointed Him and crowned Him with the glory of the Holy Spirit. The infilling of the Holy Spirit in you is God's declaration to you that He loves you wildly, passionately, incredibly. God loves you, and He wants you to experience the fullness of that. He wants you to experience that joy of the Holy Spirit, because that is a declaration in your heart of the, it's a reflection of His absolute, complete love over you. That may be hard to receive sometimes, but I want you to know, Nick, He loves you, brother. Stand up, Nick. This is His beloved Son in whom He is well pleased, in whom He takes great pleasure. Do you know that God takes great pleasure in you? He enjoys you, Nick. He is thrilled over you like Matt is thrilled over Seth and RJ is thrilled over Elijah. He just sings over you. I mean, the Bible literally says He rejoices over you with singing. Is that good? Yeah. Okay, you can sit down. Luke. Oh, well. I'm kidding. Brother, stand up, brother. Get up here. Luke, on the basis of the Word of God, I want to say to you that God says to you, Luke, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom I take great pleasure. God enjoys you. He loves you, man. Amen. Amen. Mark Slater, stand up, brother. Praise God, man. You are God's beloved Son in whom He is well pleased, in whom He takes great pleasure. Amen? No, you're not. But that's okay, because actually, even if He did what? He loves you too much to have let the Ravens win yesterday. That's our sovereign God, man. Just He has so much in store for you because of their loss, you can't even conceive of it. He wants to set you free from that bondage. Be free in the name of the Lord. Praise God. And yes, we don't understand everything that happens. Nevertheless, can you grasp that? Does that connect with you? Sarah Largent. Sweetheart, stand up, dear. Did you know that you are God's beloved child? Sarah, you are not simply His child. You are God's beloved child. He truly loves you. He loves everything about you. He is thrilled over you. He takes great pleasure in you. You are His beloved child in whom He is well pleased. Amen? Amen. He loves you. CJ, brother, He loves you, man. Your metal playing, head banging, guitar whacking self. Brother, He loves you. He is thrilled over you. He rejoices over you with singing, actually. It's a foreign concept, I know, but let me interpret that for you. I'm kidding, brother. Thank you. He loves you. He loves you, man. He has loved you from before the foundation of the world, and it thrilled Him when you came into this world. And His Holy Spirit in you is His declaration to you in the depths of your being that you truly are His beloved Son in whom He is well pleased. The Holy Spirit in us is God's declaration of that fact. He wants you to know. The Holy Spirit's presence in us was never meant to be some trivia fact that we memorized in theology class or discipleship class. It was meant to be an experience, a life-changing, transforming experience. And the power of that, God wants us to tap into every day so we can experience the fullness and richness and deepness and wideness and vastness of His love for us. He wants us to be filled with the glorious beauty of His presence so that we can know that we belong to Him, and He loves us, and He takes great pleasure in us. We were not meant to try to scrape through this life on our knees over broken glass, trying to make it through to the end in hopes that someday maybe we can qualify for something. God wants us to know that He has made us kings and priests unto Him, that we are a chosen generation, a particular beautiful treasure, a diadem in the hands of the Lord. Scripture says that we are literally His jewels, His treasure. He loves us, and in order for us to know and experience that, He wants us to be filled with all of the fullness of the Holy Spirit and its blessing. He was given to us to experience and enjoy and receive. Now, if that is not enough, I mean, that in itself is glorious. Oh, Lord, fill me. Transform me. Let me just dance under the rivers of Your outpoured glory. Man, I just want to worship in the presence of God and let Him fill me to overflowing till I can't even control myself. But if that isn't enough, that God would come into you to flood your soul with glory so you can know how much He loves you and how pleased He is with you, on top of that. But wait, there's more. On top of that, when we look at this passage of Scripture, oh, I'm sorry, I missed it. Oh, there's more Scripture, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. The Holy Spirit is God's way of declaring to us that we are His beloved child in whom He is well pleased in the most powerful, passionate, intimate, glorious way possible. And Scripture even affirms that in many places. I'll give you one sample of that. Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. The Bible says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father!' Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us."